the coach, Michael E. Maiden. A blast from the past as we take you back and share with you some of Coach Maiden's best interviews that includes past and present Major League Baseball players.
A blast from the past with the coach, Michael E. Maiden. We're going to lead off today's show with a visit with Buck Showalter as he reflects on being a Major League manager.
And I landed the manager of the Orioles, Buck Showalter. How we doing?
Good, Mike. How are you? We could need another coach tonight. You help us?
Well, have to pay us right.
You can be bought, huh?
Taking our youngsters behind the scenes, what goes on in the major leagues is what we try to do in our show. And you happen to be a major league manager. What are some of the responsibilities that go with being a major league manager?
Oh, gosh, you know, that'd be a pretty long conversation. But, you know, the actual part of the game of when to bunt, when to hit and run, when to steal, when to bring a pitcher in, you know, the game kind of dictates a lot of it. It's a lot about, you know, the atmosphere that you try to create and try to make sure the guys are in a position for their, you know, their strengths to come out. And it's such a long season, such a grind to try to keep a long memory and not try to dwell too much in the moment. But it's a long process from spring training. You know, this is a 7 or 8 month job, 7 days a week. You know, we kind of chuckle at football coaches and they say we weren't ready to play this week. You know, we do this every day, over 200 games counting spring training. So it's a real mental and emotional grind as much as it is physically.
And I know you've been around this game for a number of years now. At some point in time, do you get burnt out with this game?
Yeah, you win a few games, you don't. You know, every once in a while the baseball gods let you up and they make you think you might know what you're doing. But, you know, it's an honor to be in a big league. It's an honor to do something that people think is very important. And you're going to be critiqued when you are a part of that. But I've never lost sight of how lucky I am to be able to do this for a living and be exposed to so many quality baseball people. And it's a lot of fun, but it's an honor. It's not a right.
Now, and again, having coached college ball, I know kind of what coaches go through. Do you find yourself that even though these are grown men, that you got to be mama, daddy, sister, brother, and all that to them?
You know, for the most part, you know, we're kind of mercy at the mercy of the mothers and fathers of the world, because by the time we get them at this level, they've kind of formulated. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be surprised by anything if you do your homework. We got a good group of people here. They're a lot of fun to be around. They don't take themselves too seriously. And more importantly, they hold each other to a high standard. You know, it's about what they want to be about. And, you know, they've been a very easy team to manage. In a lot of cases, the best coaching you do is the coaching you don't do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who are some of the players that's been the biggest, made the biggest impact on you?
Oh, gosh, I'd leave somebody out. You know, I think early on with Don Mattingly and guys like Curt Schilling, and I've just been fortunate to have some great players, Michael Young, through the years, that you realize the more you're in it, that things just don't happen by accident. They happen because people prepare well. They're good human beings that don't take themselves too seriously. But one of the problems that coaches make is, the mistakes they make is they forget about how hard the game was to play and how bad they were on a given night.
So that means that you have a special sensitive touch for the players, normally it's like.
Well, I try not to give them too much sympathy, but, you know, every once in a while they got to know that you try to put yourself in their head and know that, you know, it's not always telling them how they got to do things, but every once in a while letting them know that they're doing things well, too.
Being a manager in the big leagues, I mean, what is one of your most embarrassing moments in the big leagues?
It may happen tonight. You never know. But
Might get it suspended like us.
Oh, well.
We won't talk about that.
I've been there, too. But it's a, you know, it's a humbling game. When you think you got it figured out, it'll bite you. So I keep in mind that we're never as good as we think we are, and we're never probably as bad as we think we are either. But I've had my share of embarrassing moments.
Now, I'm on this side of the camera interviewing you tonight, and I know you've been on the other side of the camera with ESPN. Which one do you enjoy most, TV or being a manager?
Well, I slept a lot better in TV, but I will tell you this, live TV is tough. It cramps your language a little bit. The way I can describe things in a dugout during a game is a lot more easy than, but I have a lot of respect. ESPN treated me well. They have a real passion for sports, and it was a good experience for me. And, you know, we lose a tough game every once in a while. Sometimes I think, you know, it was good. You know, I think obviously they're both challenging things. I tried to be a voice of reality there, but boy, it was tough sometimes.
The coach taking you behind the scenes with the manager for the Baltimore Orioles, Buck Showalter. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, let's keep this wheel rolling. Danny Duffy is up next as he shares with us his experience in the big leagues.
All right, the coach is on the road, and we ran across the Kansas City Royals here. Introduce yourself to my audience.
Danny Duffy.
Danny Duffy. So, you know, my show reaches young audience, young, aspiring high school, college baseball players that desire to play in the big leagues. So what's your experience been like being in the major leagues?
It's been amazing, man. Humbling, really, I think the biggest thing is how humbled you get when you get here and you realize how little you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just been great. I mean, the guys have been, you know, stringing me along really well. The older guys, so to speak, on this team, I guess. We're a pretty young squad.
Yeah.
But, you know, they teach you the right way, and it's just been a really good time.
Well, you know, I used to coach college baseball, and I scouted for 5 major league teams. And I would always tell kids that whatever it takes for you to get to the point where you're drafted, you can throw that out the window because it all starts over once you get in the system and work your way up.
Oh, yeah, it all starts over. It's all new. And, you know, it's like, you know, graduating when you get to the big leagues. You know what I mean? It's like graduating high school or college all over again. And, you know, it's a long road. It's a really big-time grind, and, you know, you got to have, you know, a lot of strength to get through it. But, you know, it beats sitting at a cubicle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what were some of the things you had to make the adjustment to?
Probably just being away from home, being away from my family more so than anything.
So you was a mama's baby?
A little bit. You know, my mom's one of my best friends. And, so, you know, it's been a grind, and, you know, I kind of blazed my own trail, but... You know, I got here, it all happened for, you know, a reason, and I couldn't be more happy to be here.
So I always told kids that the key was, of course, exposure, somebody knowing you're out there. How did you go about getting your exposure to the college coaches?
Well, I was a real little guy. I wasn't, you know, really anything in high school till about my senior year, and, you know, I just kind of took it, you know, every opportunity that I had. You know, we had a bigger guy who was probably going to get drafted his senior year, and they had a lot of scouts there, and you know, things went the wrong way for him, and you know, I ended up getting some exposure, and you know, took full advantage of that. You never know when somebody's watching you, and you know, I just played every day like it was my last, and I know that's cliche, but you know, it's the way you got to do it. You know, you never know who's watching, and I had the right people watching me for a good game, and you know, it just went all downhill from there.
So what was your position in high school?
I was outfield. I committed to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Actually, it kind of be two-way. I think they had the idea I was going to be like a fourth outfielder, you know, like a backup outfielder, and pitch on, you know, Sundays maybe. And in senior year, I ended up throwing just, you know, 10 miles per hour harder. And, you know, I got blessed, and, you know, what can I say? I'm here.
Your outfield, were you any good?
I was all right. I used to have a little bit of athlete in me, but... You know, not really so much anymore. I tried to swing the stick against Jaime Garcia in Interleague, and that didn't go too well. So.
Wait a minute. Now that, you know, I always told him, you know, 69, you had to have some wheels to play in the outfield. You trying to tell me you had some wheels?
Oh, I could run a little bit. Oh, I could get up, too. I could play a little basketball. So,
you can hoop, too?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jordan?
I don't know about all that. Maybe Kobe.
Okay. That's a downgrade for Michael, so maybe Kobe. you know, and he was able to hit too. You know, in outfield, we tell them the corners, you had to have a little pop in your bat, center field speed and arm.
Oh yeah, I mean, I played right field a lot more than anything. I let off for my scout ball team, multiple scout ball teams, and I could actually get after a little bit. But you know, once I got drafted, once I turned into, you know, a pitcher, that athleticism went out the window. But you know, I don't know, I'm just having a good time, and everything's happened the way it's supposed to, you know.
Now you say your scout ball team, for those youngsters out there, what's the scout ball team?
In Southern California, I don't know really about other areas of the nation, but in Southern California we have, you know, a scout ball league. It's where, you know, high school ball players go. They'll either get invited, or they'll, you know, just be seen and have in their area. There's usually some teams around that'll, you know, come from high school to high school, and you'll all have, like, different high school players from all over the county, and we'll go and play. It's kind of like area codes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a really big advantage that we have in Southern California. You know, being in the winter, we have fairly good weather, and we'll go play, you know, everywhere all year.
All right, rub it in, because you're from California.
Hey, can't beat it.
So you went from the scout ball team, and you discovered yourself as a pitcher. And what was that transition like?
It was cool. I mean, I had a scout ball coach. He's an Indian scout. His name's Vince Agisi, and he taught me a lot about pitching. And You know, he taught me how to throw a slider, and I mean, I don't use that so much anymore, but it's just, I think just the ins and outs. When you play baseball all year, you pick up a lot.
Yeah.
So, I had a lot of people helping me along the way.
So you eventually got drafted and you went through the minor league system. What was that like?
It was cool. I mean, it's a long road, but when you get here, it's like the snap of a finger is gone. You know, you look back on it, it's such a short period of time. And, you know, I hope to stay up here for, you know, three times the amount of time that I was in the minors. So, you know, it was cool. It's a learning experience. You got to grow up really fast, especially right out of high school. But it was cool, you know. It's something that not a lot of people get to experience.
How many years were you in the minor leagues?
Just four.
Four? So a lot of pillow fights and all that stuff on the road?
What's that?
Oh, pillow fights and all that at the minor
league? We had people throwing food at each other on the bus.
We couldn't talk about that. See, I coach college ball, so I know about all that.
Yeah, exactly.
See, look at the rules coming through here. Breaking up our interview. See, you're getting rookie status.
Right. No respect. No respect.
So, Coach, take you behind the scenes.
A blast from the past. Classic MLB interviews with the coach.
Stepping up in the batter's box is Cito Gaston as he reflects on his major league playing days. And Desmond Jennings is on deck.
We have the manager of the Blue Jays, Cito Gaston. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Coach. How are you doing today?
Just fine. Looking back over your baseball career, you started in 1964, embarking on five decades of baseball. What has been the key to your longevity in this game?
Well, you know what? I guess a lot of luck, too. Being in the right place, right time, but it's been a great time for me. You know, it's not too often as a kid you grow up and you want to play Major League Baseball and you end up playing Major League Baseball. Never thought about being a coach or a manager, and all those things happen too. So it's been a great life for me.
And looking back over it, I mean, what are some of your highlights? Who are some of the players that influenced you?
Oh, I got to go first to my ex, Romeo, and I would like to say Mr. Hank Aaron, who I was fortunate enough to. I mean, that's why I've been so fortunate in this game. I was fortunate enough to room with my idol, man. How many times you gonna have a chance to room with your idol? And he's also responsible for getting me back in the game when I was when I finished my career as a player. He got me back in as a coach in the Braves organization. He was farm director, and he asked me three times before I said yes. And every time he asked me, he never said come work for me. He said come work with me. And I owe Hank Aaron a lot in my career. And I mean, it's pretty amazing to, as I said, the room with Jai.
And how much have the game changed today? I mean, you started your professional baseball career in 1964, and now we're in 2010. How much have the game changed?
Well, it's changed quite a bit as far as not the way they play the game. It's still played the way it's not much that has changed. The more you have a DH now, and of course, some rules have changed as far as the All-Star. You know, they're going to carry a couple of extra guys, and they also go designate a guy just in case someone gets hurt so they don't have that incident that happened before, that they ran out of players, which is quite embarrassing. I mean, people change. I mean, people change in your life and your business, and they change in my business. Of course, people change. Guys, you know, there was a time guys hung together a little bit more, and you know, there's guys that has their little groups that they hang together, but that's in every walk of life.
And you've been in baseball for all these years, and you're as a player, now as a manager. What are some of the transitions you have to deal with being a player and now being a manager?
Well, you know what? As a player, you pretty much look after yourself, even though everybody thinks that, we know that it's a team sport, but if you really look at the game of baseball, it's played as a team sport, but it's also an individual sport. No one helps you run, no one helps you throw, no one helps you hit or pitch. As a manager, you have to look out for everyone. I mean, I look out for pitchers, hitters, coaches, families, my bosses. So you got a lot of responsibility. I can remember when I first started managing, and I was just interim manager, and I just turned around on the plane one day and looked back and said, you know what, I'm responsible for all these people back here. So it's quite a responsibility. You know that, Coach. You know that. And so it's not so much as looking out for yourself now. You have a lot of other people to look out for.
And, you know, I coached college baseball and scouted for five major league teams. And you took me back being a coach. You had to be mama, daddy, big brother. And believe it or not, even on the major league level, it's still the same.
Absolutely. It's no different. It's no different. You really do. You have to be those things. And, you know, it's just part of your job. And certainly if you want to win and if you want to get the job done properly, then you do those sort of things.
Let's take a moment and talk about Cito Gaston's legacy in this game. You're one of, I think, less than five managers that have managed over 1,000 games with the same team. Two World Series. How do you want this game to remember you?
I just want to remember me as being a fair person, you know, respect of other people. And certainly, you know, if you give respect, you get respect. And people that ask for respect that don't give it, I think they're a little bit silly. So I just want people to remember me as, you know, Cito might have been tough at times, but fair. And, you know, no more than being a decent guy, you know, not so much as what I've done and what I've won. I think all that's going to probably come up after I'm dead, you know, but as far as people looking at me as being just a decent guy in the game.
And just this last question. Now, we normally take the major leaguers back when they first made it to the big leagues, but we're going to go a different route with you for those youngsters watching the show. Take us back to your most embarrassing moment in the major leagues.
Most embarrassing moment in the major leagues. It's probably overrunning the Larry Boers line drive and hit to me in center field in San Diego, which I misjudged, and he got inside the park home run. And, you know, but one thing you learn from that is I was asked so many times what happened on that play. And I said, you know what, I just messed it up, that's all. Because I had a manager, Preston Gomez, who, God bless his soul, is not around anymore, that always taught me, Cito, just tell the truth and people will leave you alone. It will set you free. And I believe in that.
Coach, take you behind the scene with Cito Gaston. And we're going to come back in the future and get some of them Hank Aaron stories from him.
All right, Coach.
Appreciate
right,
it. Brother. Thanks a lot.
You take care of yourself.
You too.
A blast from the past. Classic MLB interviews with the coach.
Well, Desmond Jennings says you have to work hard and harder if you want to stay in the big leagues. Here's what he had to say. In his own words.
Man here for Tampa Bay DJ.
What's going on?
All right. How we doing today?
Good.
And it's in the big leagues. What's that experience like for you?
Oh, man, it's just everything. It's, you know, one of the best things that's happened to me in my life. I mean, you dream of stuff like this as a kid, you know, and you work hard to accomplish it. And, you know, once you get here, you don't want to just be here. You want to stay. So, you know, the hard work doesn't stop. And, you know, the drive, you know, drive doesn't stop either.
So where did it start? Where did you start for getting your exposure?
I don't know, man. I started playing this game when I was a kid, when I was 5 or 6 years old. And, you know, just growing up through the years and get more experience and, you know, staying at it, staying on the field. And it's just a fun sport to play. I don't know where I got here.
So was you the man or what? What was high school like? Was you the man at high school?
I'm pretty sure, you know, probably every big league player was probably the man in high school.
Well, that's what you're going to say now. You know?
So, yeah, man, but, you know, you earn it the right to be here, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, everybody was probably the man in high school. You know, but once you get to the big leagues, you know, you fit, you know, you in the middle of the pack. You know, everybody's a man now, you know. But, you know, back then I was all right.
You was all right.
I was all right back then.
You know, when I was scouting, we talked about the 5-2s, Billy Hit, Doe, Ron, Field. And what was your greatest two? I'm going to take it, your speed.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the brothers got to be aggressive up there.
Oh, yeah. You know, they can't take that. They can't take it from you. You know, you can bring your speed every day, regardless if you bring your bat or your glove or whatever. You can always bring your legs.
So what was your 60 time? Uh-oh. We got to think.
Nah, that's a good. That's a good question. Man, I ain't ran a 60 since.
About 6'6".
Nah, it's got to be faster than 6'6".
Oh, come on. Now you 6'6". Now 6'9" average major league speed. You trying to act like you had some wheels back in the day.
I don't know.
But you just run it down, huh?
Yeah, I can run a little bit.
So what was the high school experience like playing high school ball?
Man, it was great. You know, I played on a great high school team. Went to the state championship, lost. But you know, we made it. Had some great, good players and good coaches. You know, we had a really, really, really good team.
So for those youngsters out there, what was that high school at?
Where?
What was high school for you?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, you're a country boy, huh?
That's right. Oh yeah, to the heart.
You're playing in the big leagues. What about that day when you got that call from that scout? Who's the scout that drafted you?
Ricky Drexler.
Ricky Drexler.
Yeah, from Louisiana. I was in junior college. I got drafted out of high school, but I didn't sign. I went to junior college to play football and baseball, and I went to. But I got drafted out of junior college to play baseball.
Well, you was a bad man. You got drafted out of high school, then went to college. Didn't go impress up my orders. You're a two-sport man. You was baseball and football.
Football, yeah.
So you was a man out there, huh?
Sometimes.
Oh, he's trying to be modest.
Sometimes.
So, I mean, what was that role like? What was minor league? You know, a lot of kids out here, they think you guys get drafted. Next day, you're in the big leagues. I mean, what was that role like going to the minor leagues?
It's definitely not. I mean, you gotta earn. Like I said earlier, man, you really gotta earn the way to get here.
You gotta pay your dues.
You gotta pay your dues. I mean, it's a process. You know, you can be the best player on your team in rookie ball, but you still gonna go to that next level, that next step, and you're not gonna get drafted and come straight to the big leagues. I mean, it don't work like that, but. You know, you got to grind out. It's a grind. And you go play in front of 100 people, 200 people, you know. But if you love the sport, then you have a problem with it.
And who are some of the guys that mentored you along the way?
Carl Crawford. I mean, from when I got in this organization, when I got drafted and, you know, like got up. Start getting up in levels and stuff, man. It was somebody I looked up to, you know, who was really good, went about it the right way. And, you know, he's kind of like a big brother to me. He really, really helped me.
So you see the youngsters come up, and you kind of reach down to them and share that love with them as well?
Yeah, you just don't want to, you know, you don't want them to feel, like I never once felt like I couldn't, like, be around him, you know. I couldn't hang around him. I couldn't like talk to him or something like that. You know, you don't want to give people the cold shoulder, act like you better than anybody or nothing like that. That, you know, just conversation goes a long way when you're talking to, 19, 20 year old.
So. Yeah. But let me ask you this last question. When you got that call as you was coming to the big leagues, walked in the locker room for the very first time and saw you, what was that experience like?
Nah, man. You can't, it's some stuff you just can't put in words. But it was exciting, man. It was something that I had looked forward to for a long time. And I couldn't help but to be excited. You know, I walked to the plate. My first at bat, and I didn't feel like my feet were on the ground. You know, I felt like I was just floating up to the plate. So, man, it's just a great experience.
Did you cry? You can tell what it is. Did you cry? Come on, tell
on the
us.
Inside.
All right.
Nah.
Did you pinch yourself?
I had to make sure it was real. Like I said, man, I walked to the plate. I didn't know to get in the left-hand batter's box or the right-hand batter's box. My feet was, I didn't feel like myself. I felt like I floated to the plate. It's great.
So they knew you was a rookie then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Coach, take your youngsters behind the scenes with the man, Desmond Jimmons. All right. Appreciate it.
Visit our website for updates and upcoming events. And make sure you click the link to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. A Blast from the Past with the Coach.
And bringing up the rear is New York Yankees' Aaron Hicks. A Blast from the Past with the Coach, Michael E. Maiden.
So when you look back over this game, who were your mentors? Some heavyweights.
Visit our website for updates and upcoming events. And make sure you click the link to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. A Blast from the Past with the Coach.
A Blast from the Past with the Coach, Michael E. Maiden. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to visit our website, blastfromthepast247.com. That's blastfromthepast, the number 247.com. For upcoming events, and make sure you click the link to follow us on Facebook. Make sure you tune into the next show with the Coach. Peace out.